Well, this morning, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29, I want to look at verses 11 to 14 of Jeremiah 29. We are studying the fact that to God alone belongs the glory for all that He does. And God orders all things after the counsel of His will in order that He might be glorified. And that He might be glorified in us as people. It says here in verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place which I caused you to be carried away captive." Now, these are amazing verses. They're set in the context of God's purpose, that is to have His people be in captivity for His old covenant people to be in captivity for 70 years. Verse 10 says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place." Now, what is it that you notice about verse 10 that I just read to you, and even the other verses here, in terms of how God gets glory to Himself through His own purposes? We want to talk today about God's purposed grace. To God alone belongs glory, the glory of God's purposed grace. What is it? What's the word that I'm looking for here in relation to all these verses that I've read to you in terms of God's purposed grace? How does He bring it about? He does it by His sovereign working. And we need to see that these things just don't happen in a vacuum. Notice the words that are said over and over again in these verses, but let me just point it out to you. After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you, and I will perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Isn't that wonderful? It's not just that they're going to happen to come back. God is going to cause them to come back. Why? Because that's His purpose. That's His good purpose. But it's followed up by the explanation of His purpose in verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, who is He speaking to in amongst all the children of Israel? Or is He just speaking to them in general?
A remnant.
He's speaking of a remnant of people. We can say that He's speaking of His elect remnant of people. For you notice the language here is not just in general to all of Israel, because we know from Romans 9 that not all Israel is Israel. Not all Israel is spiritual Israel. There were a good many very rebellious people in the nation of Israel, which is why they were being sent into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. But He says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope." I'm saying that, and the Bible is saying that we need to realize that God has a purpose toward His elect people, and that purpose will be fulfilled. And it's fulfilled in accordance with His thoughts, it says here. We studied His thoughts last Sunday. The thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, do you think that the people that were going into captivity would think that they were thoughts of good when they're carried away into captivity? Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. And this is the importance to you and I here this morning of our being able to take hold and to take heed to the promises of God. That God is, His intention is to do His people good, even in the midst of calamitous times and calamitous situations and situations which might create doubt and fear in your mind as to whether or not God loves you, one of His dear people. Now, we really need to pay attention to these things here this morning, because as we saw in the prayer meeting, our country is sliding downhill at breakneck speed. And that prayer request that we received this morning from Chad was a wake-up call to all of us. A man who's been 12 years on Board of Education out there and highly esteemed by all on the board, even those people who disagreed with him. They respected him. And yet, because of laws that are now being acted in the state of California, he could not, with a clear conscience, stay on that board and enforce those laws. Things are changing in our society, and Christian people are being spoken against for no reason at all as bigots. Even when they try to show love, as we saw here a week to 2 weeks ago, to those around them, and to say, "We will be praying for you," that is not received as something good. And see, you and I need to understand that these things are coming in accordance with the purpose of God. And they are for our good and for His glory. Do you see it? We're talking about the glory of God's purposed grace. And His purposed grace were shown here in verses 12 and 13 is in accordance with our prayers, which also have an aspect of being purposed to them. Do you see that in verses 12 and 13, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And watch this, "and I will be found of you." Isn't that precious? It's very precious. With all of God's people, God has this purposed grace, that their prayers, if they are sincere, will be answered. "I will be found of you." See, this is what we need to sustain us in the midst of all of our trials and difficulties. "I will be found of you." That the Lord will be with us as His people. That we need not be dismayed. As it says in Isaiah 41:10, "I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will cause you to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand when through fiery trials you go." Oh, I think this is very precious stuff that we're looking at here this morning. Why? Because God has our good in mind, and because God's glory is at stake. And God will see to it that He gets glory even in troublous times, even in difficult times, even when we are beset about with troubles. And notice it says here that there's a set time for God's answer to prayer. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Sometimes I think we pray and what do we say? We say things like, let's besiege the throne. And that's a good thing, to besiege the throne of God. But you need to understand as a Christian that there are times in the Lord's mind and in His purpose for the outworking of all these things. 70 years here. 70 long years. But at the end of that time, the purposed grace to have the prayers answered would come. Do you notice that? Because it says here in verse 14, "And I will be found by you when you search for me and seek me with all your heart. And I will bring you back from your captivity, and I will gather you from among all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you." Notice the language. Where I have driven you. Very strong language here. "And I will bring you to the place." Notice who's going to do it. "I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive." Isn't that marvelous? Now, what kind of lessons can we learn from this kind of language here today in terms of prayer? What should we conclude about prayer? And what should we conclude about God's sovereignty in relation to His purposes for ourselves here today? Can you give me any applications from this? I like to draw you out too, not just state things to you.
People should always pray with the ultimate purpose of being God's purpose.
Amen. 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 We should always pray with God's ultimate purpose in mind, not just simply our own desire or purpose, but God's purpose in accordance with His word, of course. God has many great things to do and does them among the nations. Yes, John.
He uses means to accomplish the purposes, so we don't need to think that only because He sovereignly decreed it, therefore I don't need to pray.
Amen.
He uses those means
to accomplish. Amen. Amen. God uses means and uses means to accomplish His purpose. Therefore, it is not a vain exercise to pray or to think, well, because God's ordained this and I've read this, that I should cease to pray. I trust that the elect among God's old covenant people reading these things didn't cease to pray. And really, that's something that we should take notice of. All these things are most definitely in God's sovereign hands. And yet, He would have us to pray and to ask for many things. "Call to me," says here, where is it, in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, "And I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." So there's great and many things that we do not know. Lyle, you wanted to say something. Go ahead. Amen.
Although if some people have difficulty with God's sovereignty because, well, if you believe in God's sovereignty, why do you pray? But prayer is not in conflict with it, but it's in harmony with it.
Amen.
And as we went over all of these prayer requests, we were enlightened about these prayer requests, and then we bring them to God. We're not bringing them to God for His information. To tell Him, oh, if we discover this need, and now we want to enlighten you so you can do something that we already know He knows.
Amen.
Whatever we need before we ask. And so we come to Him in obedience in conjunction with His sovereignty in order that our prayer will be answered because of that He is sovereign, not despite
Him. Amen. Very good. Thanks for that, Lyle. Well, let's bow together for prayer. We thank You, Lord, that You have brought us to this place today and You show us just how great You are, how great Your purposes are, which are far above us, And yet you very particularly notice us and our hearts as your people, and that you think upon the things that we pray in relation to your purposes, which are unmoving and unchanging. And yet many things that we pray, we would desire to see changes of various sorts. Help us to rest in your love for us. Help us to rest in your good purposes, and help us to pray in accordance with them as revealed in the Word of God. And help us to have true hope and joy in the midst of distressing times, because we know that we have you to lead us through them. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.